word of God, and just be knowing that He is our foundation, He is the one that we depend upon, and He's the one that we look unto. So we started our Bible study from the book of 1 Timothy, and we started looking at yesterday at Timothy, and how Paul addressed him as a true son in the faith. Now, one of the things that he noted is that Timothy was a son. He ideally was a son of a Greek father, but his mother was Hebrew. And because of that, there was a high chance that as he moved with Paul, he was going to be stigmatized because they knew his mother was Hebrew. And of course, by the laws of Moses, they expected that every Hebrew or every Israelite should be circumcised. And so Paul circumcises him, despite the Jerusalem Council that had clearly stated that it was not necessary for Gentiles to be circumcised. But you see, Paul was applying the principle of becoming all things to all men. And what we're able to note is that Timothy by this point was already a disciple. He was not being circumcised to be saved, as what some of the teachers of the law were teaching. And now Paul is in Macedonia, and you know, he had left Ephesus. And remember, when he left Ephesus, he had told them that, look here, ravenous wolves are going to come. There are people who are going to come to you, and they are going to even come from among your midst, and they are going to be teaching you false doctrines that even you would be surprised. They will move away from the truth of the gospel that I have labored to teach you, and I want you to be on guard. And remember, he said, I commit you to the grace of the Lord, who is able to keep you and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Now, when he had sent them, but then he heard that there was already false teachings that were taking place in Ephesus, and for this reason, he sends Timothy, who he considers his true son in the faith. And so by sending Timothy, he's sending him to go and establish the church. And you see, he wants him to go and counter those false teachers, and especially the false teachers that were focusing on the law. You know, they are focusing and not only on the law, they were also trying to bring in this issue of fables and endless genealogies, which causes dispute rather than godly edification, which is of faith. There is something that the heresy that was in Ephesus was quite similar to that which was in Colossae. Remember, where there was so much philosophy, there are people who are believing in just wisdom, in human wisdom. They were arguing about philosophies. They wanted so much that it be about what they know. They were believing there was some hidden knowledge that was higher than Christ, worshipping of angels. And Paul has to send Timothy. Remember, he calls him my true son in the faith. He says, as a son with his father, he has labored with me in the gospel. I send you Timothy. He will remind you of my way of life. And so Timothy is one that that Paul sends to go and establish the church. Now, I wanted us to narrow down on this commandment of love. And verse 5, it says, okay, maybe let's read from verse 3, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 for context. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which causes disputes, rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love. So the purpose of the commandment, and remember, there are commandments that were given, you know, by Moses, but there are also commandments that are there for the saints. In the New Covenant, in the New Testament, there are also commandments that were for the church. Remember what he tells the Thessalonians, the things that we taught you, whether it was by word or by letter or by, you know, by tradition that you watched in us, these are the things that you do. But he's now very clear to remind them that, you see, if you want to understand what is a commandment, what is it that summarizes the commandment, it is love. The purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart. Love has to stem from a heart that is pure. You know, many times we will find that we struggle with love. Why? Because whenever we struggle with love, it is because we have allowed our flesh to overcome the spirit. Remember, within us, we still have this battle raging in, and that's why Paul says that I desire to do good, but I find a law working within the members of my body that causes me to do that which is wrong. So there is a law that works within us that still wants to take us to the side of the flesh. Now, if you allow the flesh to win, then you're not going to walk in love. But if you walk according to the Spirit, then you're going to walk in love. You know, one of the things that you must always ask yourself, what I am speaking, what I am saying, does it come from love? Is it from a place of understanding? Is it from a place of the Spirit? Or am I moving according to the flesh? Now, this is the place where he says the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, and desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor what the things they affirm. So there are already some false teachers in Ephesus that had come in, and they are moving people away from the truth of the gospel, and they are moving people away from the true commandment. You know, for them, they're bringing in the laws of Moses. They're like, oh, you must be circumcised to be truly born again. You must, you know, follow the, keep the ceremonial laws of Moses, the certain way to wash, certain way to, you know, to serve and all these things. And Paul has to remind them, telling Timothy, when you go back, teach them this thing. The reason why I left you there is so that you can command this man to remind them that the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart. Now, look at the other, he's now giving the balance of why the law is there. He says, verse 8, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. That means the origin, I mean, the commandments of Moses came from God. There was a pattern that God wanted us to understand the law. Now you see, the law, verse 9 says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless. That means the purpose that the commandments are given is to show us what is sin. I mean, when you're going to evangelize to someone, you show them what is sin and you ask them, do you think that you are righteous? And you can clearly see from the commandments that no one is able to overcome or to keep every commandment. Why? Because in the human nature, in human capacity, we don't have the ability to do it. The only answer, the only mystery, the only way that we can overcome sin is we submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, is that we submit ourselves to the law of love. Now think about how Jesus addressed the commandments. Remember, Jesus, people came with questions to Jesus, and you can see this in Matthew chapter 22. Verse 33 to 40, when the Bible says that when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Then Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two commandments hung all the law and the prophets. Now Jesus was trying to summarize to you, you know, for the believers at that point, they had the law and the prophets. The Old Testament is divided ideally into three: the law, the prophets, and the books of wisdom. You know, so the books of wisdom are the Psalms, you know, the Ecclesiastes, the Proverbs, all those are the books of wisdom. Then the prophets, we have the major prophets, we have the minor prophets. You have, I mean, Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel, and then you have the minor prophets. Then you also have the law, which is the Pentateuch, the first five books, which are the laws that were given by Moses. And then, of course, you also have the historical books that just give us the stories of those, the kings, those of Daniel, David, and Saul, and all those kings in the Chronicles. Now, when you look at that, he's telling them that, look here, if you want to understand the commandments of God, because you are trying to pin him, of the Ten Commandments, which is the greatest? He tells them that, look here, there are two commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. and you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And he says the second one, which is like it. That means there's no difference between loving God and loving your neighbor. The second commandment is also like the first one. So love is the foundation. And that's why when you see Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3, sorry, verse 1, verse 5, it says the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart. That means that the foundation of our faith, the foundation of the law must be love. Now you must ask yourself, are you exercising love? Think about it. What were the teachers of the law, the false teachers that were in Ephesus that were trying to teach the church? They already knew there was a Jerusalem council. The Jerusalem council was very clear that no man should be forced, no Gentile should be forced to be circumcised. And you don't need circumcision to be born again. But now the teachers of the law, the false teachers of the law who are claiming to be teachers, yet they are not sure, they don't even understand the real purpose of the law. They are trying to now tell the believers that you cannot be a believer except you are circumcised, except you keep the laws of Moses. Now, if you look at what Jesus said, love is the greatest commandment, love for God and love for your neighbor. That is why when you look at 1 John chapter 3 says that, you know, that you cannot claim that you love God and you don't love your brother. You cannot claim to love the God that you cannot see and you don't show love to the one that you can see. That means that the foundation, if we are going to exercise a true faith in our walk in God, we must walk in love. What is love? 1 Corinthians 13 speaks about what is love. What is love? And let's look at verse 4. It says that love suffers long. That means love is patient. Are we going to be patient with one another? And you know, when it even says love is patient, if you're going to say that you have the love of God, you put your name there. Like for me, I will say Emmanuel. The Bible says, okay, love is patient. Emmanuel suffers long. Emmanuel is patient. Am I patient? Have what I have spoken to someone, whether I'm a believer or not a believer, is it from a place of patience? Is it kind? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. That means that we do not exercise jealousy over our brothers. You know, think about it. Nowadays, there's so many things that are happening in the church. You see, you can find a church, just started the other day, and it is growing. Or this brother just, or this sister just got born again, and God starts to lift them up. Now, instead of rejoicing with what God is doing with someone else and saying, you know, this is my kind. These are the things that God can do, that the Spirit of God can do with a man that is sold out to him. Instead of saying that God is shining his light, has put the spotlight on another person, instead of rejoicing with that, we become envious. And you find that people are, you know, planning and plotting evil against others. Now, God is saying that, can we not walk in envy? Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. That means it does not show itself. It's not about seeking yourself. It's not about seeking your own profit. It's not about being proud. It's not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. There is a place where we exercise decorum. The purpose of the commandment is love. How is it the foundation? How is it do we determine right from wrong? The question we ask, is it from love? What does love not do? Love does not destroy the weak ones. You know, one of the things about being a leader is that you know that whatever you do, whatever the people that hear you or follow you are going to go in excess of what you do. I mean, there are so many debates right now in the circles. Like you can imagine, oh, why does Paul speak about that it is not good for certain leaders? If you desire the office of a bishop, you know, there are certain things that you should not do. There's a certain marks that are required of deacons, of leaders. Why? Because he knows that whatever spirit the leaders carry, they transmit it to their people that hear them. That means if you carry a spirit of anger or a spirit of bitterness, when you stand before people, the reality of what you're going to be ministering to them is going to be a spirit of bitterness, a spirit of anger. So that is why it says that love must be from a pure heart. What is the purity of heart? The purity of heart is where that you have come before God and you have asked God to search your heart. You ask, David will say, search my heart, O God, and see if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That means that you must ask God continually, oh God, search my heart. Is there something in me that is still not in alignment to your truth? Is there someone I've not forgiven? Is there someone I hate? Is there someone that I'm still carrying? How do you know that there is something still in your heart? If that thought, if when you think of that person, when you meet them and they still that pain that is awakened, the evidence of that someone is still in your heart is that it still awakens those wounds. Those wounds are still awakened. Now, there is a place that God is telling us that we need to walk in love. And not only does love, not only is patient loves, but also love does not rejoice in sin. Just because something is wrong, we should not rejoice in sin. If you're going to exercise love, you will also call out what which is wrong. And it is necessary. Think about how God says. God says that everyone that he loves, everyone that he accepts as a son, he disciplines. And everyone that is a son of God. If you are a son of your father, you have gone through discipline. Anyone that is not disciplined is a bastard, is not a legitimate child. You can think if there were children in the compound and they're doing wrong, the parent would be more concerned about the true child. Why? Because if my own child fails, then you will not be happy. Now, there is no one that loves their child and allows them to commit wrong. Even God himself, he admonishes us when we are wrong. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. When the Bible says he shall come to convict us of sin, that means that when we have gone astray, there is that inner bearing. It is like a compass within you that is going to guide you and to show you that, look here you've gone wrong. Don't ask, oh, is this wrong? This is not written in the Bible. Oh, the Bible does not condemn smoking. Oh, the Bible does not condemn this. The Bible does not have to write on everything. But you see, the Holy Spirit has given us the capacity within us to show us that this does not operate from a place of love. Why does it not operate from a place of love? Or even it is a place that you are destroying your own body. Now, if you are destroying your own body, which is a temple of God, the Bible also says that if you destroy your own God's temple, God will destroy you. So there are things that are foundational that by the Spirit of God, he gives us the ability to understand. He says the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart. Now, look, he was trying to tell them, let us look at verse 9, 1 Timothy verse 1, chapter 1, verse 9. It says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for the murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. That means that there are so many things that I could go and list, that Paul could go and list, that the scriptures could go and list. Think about it when he speaks in Galatians 5:22, that the works of the flesh are obvious. You know, sexual immorality, witchcraft, orgies, fits of rage, anger, and then he says, and the like. That means that the list can be exhausted, that you can, once you know, once you encounter that which is evil, you will know it. By the Spirit of God that is within you, you will know that this is not of God. Why? Because it is not exercised in love. That means love for God and love for yourself, love for your neighbor. So anything that is not exercised in love is contrary to the truth of the gospel. And he says, and any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Paul was very keen to teach us that, look here, there is a gospel that God gave me. There is a message that he gave me, and the foundation is love. What does love point us to? The Bible tells us that the law was given as a schoolmaster. It was given as a tutor to point us to Christ, to point us to the truth. That means if you want a foundation to know what is right and wrong, you look at the law. But once you come to Christ, once it leads you to Christ, then you know that the foundation of the commandment is love. Jesus told his disciples, by this men shall know you are my disciples when you love one another. Why was the early church such grew so much? It was because they walked in love. The Bible tells us, Acts 2:42, that daily they met in the in their homes, they broke bread together, they continued in the apostles' doctrine, in prayer, in fellowship, in the sharing of bread, that those that had lands, they sold those lands, they brought those proceeds from those sales and put it to the feet of the apostles, and this was distributed to everyone as they had need, until there was no poor person among them. There was an exercise of love in the early church that even the Gentiles now called them Christians, meaning they are little Christs. In fact, they were saying that these people are so like Christ that we can call them little Christ. That is why they were called Christians. And that is why Jesus said, by these men shall know you are my disciples, by your love. When you exercise love, then people truly know that you are a believer. You know, love is the fruit of the Spirit. You can have gifts. You can be, you know, a miracle worker. You can have the gift of prophecy. You can have the gift of speaking in tongues. You can have the gift of prayer. You can have the gift of, you know, you lay hands on people and they get well. Yes, that is good. That is something that you did not work for, because gifts are given without repentance. Every good and perfect gift of God is from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning. That means when God gives us a gift, he does not take it away. And that is why you find people started in the church. They were singing. God gave them the gift of singing. They can move people when they sing. And the enemy finds such kinds of people and turns them into the secular world. Now, God does never takes away that gift, because it was given without repentance. And God does not regret why he gave you the gift. But the fruit is the work of the Holy Spirit inside you. That's why the Bible said the fruit of the Spirit. It does not even say the fruits. That means it is a composite fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And it says above all these, there is no other law. That means that the foundation of a believer, that for we to know that you are truly born again, is by the fruit that you carry, the fruit that you demonstrate, the fruit of the Spirit. That's why the Bible says you shall know them by their fruits. It is not that you shall know them by their gifts. Many people want to manifest, oh, I'm a Christian by the power of my gifts. And that is why many people end up deceived. Nowadays, there are so many, even witch doctors, who are operating in the church, who are running churches, and people think that, oh, these are true prophets. No, they are using the spirit of divination. What does the spirit of divination tell you? It tells you correct things. It might tell you accurate things, but when you study the fruit of their love, of their lives, you will see that these are wolves. These are men that are operating wolves in sheep clothing. That means that if you're to follow someone, it is good that you follow them that are bearing the character of Christ. What is the character of Christ? Love. What is love? Love is one that will lay down their lives for their own friends. What is a pure heart? Purity of heart is one that is free of sin. Purity of heart is one that does not desire of its own. Purity of heart is one that does not seek itself. It is one that is forgiving. You are quick to forgive, slow to become angry, slow to think wicked thoughts of your own, of your fellow brother and sister. If you really desire to walk in the truth of the gospel, then you are going to walk in love. And I pray that God will understand us and make us, bring us to that point of understanding, to know that the purpose of the commandment is love. The purpose of the entire law, the purpose of what God wants us to walk in, the purpose of the truth that God wants us to walk in this new life, it is love. Love for God, love for our brothers that we can see. And when we walk in love, then we will fulfill this law. You will not find yourself murdering, you will not find yourself killing, you will not find yourself loving. Why? Because you want to walk in love. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit in you. The most important thing is to allow the Holy Spirit to walk in you, to show you where you are wrong, to show you where you need to exercise love, to show you who you need to forgive, to show you who you need to treat better. And when you walk in obedience, God will enable you to do it. If there's someone you need to walk in forgiveness with, God will show you, and God will bring the right moment for which you can be able to reconcile. I pray that God will give us more insight into this, and this is the word for today. Brother, if you have any reflections, you are welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel. Wonderful word. Indeed, love is the greatest commandment. It guides most of our ways as Christians. As you're speaking, I was just thinking of saying, you know, you can only give what you have, and, you know, if you do not have love in your heart, you as an individual, number one, there's no way you can give that love to others. You know, yeah, and there is no way you can also receive what you don't give. So if you don't give love to others, you cannot expect love to be given back to you. So it begins with us as Christians. We are the ones to first distribute that love, and we receive love in return. So we just pray that God gives us the grace, because often we struggle a lot, you know, with life because of the lack of purity. And I like it that Paul says that love comes from purity of the heart. So if the heart is not pure, you're struggling with bitterness, you're struggling with envy, you're struggling with, you know, ungodly competition, then there is no way love can exist in such a heart. But I think it begins with accepting to live in, you know, a life that is free of all these, you know, desires of the world, the weaknesses of the flesh, and all that. Accepting Christ, then love grows into your heart, and automatically you give it up. You wonder sometimes when you see people, you know, saying, we're confessing Christ as our Lord and Savior, and saying we are children of God, and but when we meet in public, the way we interact with each other, the way, you know, Christians sometimes are very hostile to one another. You understand? But yet we say we confess Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we forget that His commandment, the only commandment He gave us, is love your neighbors, you love yourself. You know, I don't know whether one can be hostile to themselves. Yeah, so that's a good thing that I think I was just reflecting on. I'm like, do I really treat those around me the way I would want to be treated? I don't think so. Yeah, so we pray for grace, we pray for God's guidance, and we learn how to give what we have, and also receive what we have given, which is love.
Amen. Amen. I love how you put it, that we can only give what we have received. That means God is the one that pours out His love in us. In fact, the Bible says He has shed His love in our hearts abroad by the Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the love for God and love for man. And honestly, may God give us more love. In fact, the more you want to move in God, the more you just need to love people. Jesus moved in miracles because of compassion. That is all. That was the foundation of his power. Just love for people. He will say, these are sheep scattered. He will say, these are people who are hungry. For 3 days they have not eaten. He said, let me feed them. That's compassion. That is love. And I think they are called bowels of mercy. May God give us bowels of mercy that we can pray for people. We can meet their needs. We can be in action. Even giving, it comes from love. May God help us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your truth. I thank You for this day that You've given us to listen to Your word, that not by might, not by power, but by Your Spirit, that indeed we can exercise love, that the commandment is love from a pure heart. Oh God, give us purity of heart, purity of heart. Purify our hearts, oh God. Purify our minds, purify our thoughts, oh God. May we walk in truth. May we walk in life. May we live according to the truth of the gospel. That may we exercise grace and truth, the balance of the life that You want us to live in. And indeed, may we know anything that will cause others to fall, oh God, that does does not walk in love, oh God, may we not walk in it, oh God. Forgive our failures where we have failed. Cleanse us, purify us, walk with us, oh God. I thank you for everyone that is depending on you for a miracle, for an answer. The Lord, you make a way, oh God. Nothing is impossible with you, God. I thank you in the name of Jesus. May we receive our answers. May we receive our breakthroughs. May we receive the right way, oh God, wisdom, guidance, and continue to work in our hearts, oh God. May we live in love according to the commandments that you've given us. Indeed, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Indeed, that our joy may be full. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Blessed day. Bye-bye.